Welcome to the Property Premier League, the weekly podcast where property meets Premier League football. I'm your host, Chris Mervin, and joining me are my co-hosts, Steve Green and Jamie Asplund. Each week, we'll delve into the world of property and football from the unique perspective of professionals who live and breathe both. As diehard fans of Spurs, Palace and Everton, we know a thing or two about the highs and lots of lows that come with the beautiful game and the property market. And whether it's the thrill of a last minute go or the challenges of a market shift, we've got the stories, insight and banter to keep you entertained. So if you're passionate about property, Premier League football or both, you're in the right place. Let's get ready for your weekly dose of all things property and football with the Property Premier League. Let's kick off. This week, we have a special guest joining us, Peter Barnes. Peter, you are a self-proclaimed fair-weather Man United fan. Of course, your appearance on here has coincided with what can only be described as your best win of the season. Peter, please introduce yourself and your love affair with Man United, please.
Hi there, chaps. Well, first of all, thanks for having me on. It's I've obviously been listening to the previous podcasts and really enjoyed them. So yeah, my love affair with Manchester United was actually a necessity. I was born in Wolverhampton. We moved up to Stockport, Cheshire, with my dad's job when I was four. And there's two things when you go to school in Stockport, two things you don't do. One, you don't have a Brummie accent, and you certainly don't support Wolves. So I quickly had to decide whether I was going to go blue or red, and I'm glad I went red. I've been a United supporter for the best part of 50 years now. Started going in the 80s, the Mark Hughes era, and I had season tickets from, I think, 2006 till 2013, which I think was pretty good timing.
Wait, was the roof not leaking during those times, or was it?
It was fine then, and obviously that was the final year that we won the Premiership. So, yeah, strangely, I've always had pretty good seats, so I've never got wet.
It's really weird, isn't it? Obviously, from my youth, Man United were the team, and, everybody wanted to. Well, if you're playing in a field after school, even if you weren't a Man United fan, you wanted to be Mark Hughes doing this scissor volley or something like that. And Lee Sharp, obviously, from Torquay.
Local boy.
Hey, get on, Devon. Yes, loads of great players there. And, it was a great time to be a Man United fan, I guess. Much better than perhaps most recent years and seasons. Although we spoke about it in the last episode, and I think they're the most, the profitable club still, aren't they? Which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah. Is it just coincidence that you stopped getting a season ticket at Man United the season they finished winning the league? Did you have a foresight what might be coming?
No, the annoying thing was, at the time I had my own business and I was only going two or three times a year, so I wasn't really using them. So I was just wasting money, and I thought, you know what, I'm just going to hand them in because it's pointless. But yeah, I think it was very, very fortuitous timing. But I'll tell you what, the interesting thing is, when I was in our heyday years, I always had the idea that in the Premier League, I would always want Man United to be top and City second. Actually, since City have overtaken us, I haven't got that opinion anymore. I haven't continued that on. So it just goes to show that change of fortune really can change your own perspective on things.
Peter, you're probably one of our favourite guests at the moment because of, us three have been, we've just been happy to be out of the bottom three last season, Tottenham, Palace and Everton. So you're probably talking about the top three. We were praying for 15th and around that time, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got to be happy with a top half finish, haven't we?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just so far from where it was, that club, and I can't see where the issue is. Like, is it the managers? Is it how it's run? Like, is it expectation? Just, what's your thoughts as a Man United fan?
You know what? I was looking at stats before about success of managers, and Amorini's I think he is the lowest. I think we're maybe too easy to play to. I think when clubs come to, or when we play people, they know how we're going to play. So it's easy to work out where our weaknesses are. And I think I didn't go to the match at the weekend. The last match I went to was actually Burnley, and I am a fan of Burnley because we're actually, at Real Move, we've got a hospitality box there. So I really enjoyed watching Burnley play last year. It got me into the Championship, and I think that Burnley could possibly outperform United this year, perhaps. But I'm afraid to say it, I think we need a change of manager.
No, they won't.
The Dyche Arms. If that's Burnley, isn't it? The Dyche Arms. I'm a Sean Dyche lover, so the Dyche Arms outside Burnley, I think, is it? Off the pub court, something like that?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Sean Dyche. I can't believe he's not working at the moment, is he?
He's rumoured to go West Ham.
he'll end up that's at right. Rangers.
That'd be good.
Be careful what you wish for, haven't you? You know,
he'll be right. Rangers, because Thirlwell, the ex-Everton director of football, was the Rangers director of football now, and I'm a big fan of Sean Dyche. I'd imagine if, I can't remember matey boy's name, that's, is it Chris Martin, is it? Chris Martin? It's the Rangers manager. I'd imagine that if he does, that's him, isn't it? Yeah.
Chris Martin's from Coldplay.
I thought it was, but anyway. But he'll get the boot before long, and I would imagine Sean Dyche will go there.
I think the thing with United, there's no fear. Like, I don't fear Palace going to United, where 10, 15, 16 years ago, you would be like, oh my God, we're going to get battered. And, you know, we're probably similar ages, Chris, I would have thought, aren't we? So I come from an era where United won everything, absolutely everything. Everybody at school in the Southwest was a Man United fan, you know, Man United jackets, jerseys, you name it. So, yeah, to see Man United failing now, I quite like it. So, no offense. But there is no fear. There's no fear there anymore to go to Old Trafford.
No, I absolutely agree. And it's interesting because there is talk of Glasgow being in the top three, isn't there?
Yeah, I could. We had this conversation before. I think if we get one more season out of him, if they can get him to sign a contract, great. At the moment, he's not signing the contract, and people like United and others will be sniffing without a doubt. And then Palace go back through the whole transitional period once again, which takes 10 years to get through, and we hope. But we'll end up with Sean Dyche.
But this is also to do with, you're exactly right about people aren't scared of United, proper scared of United. They had, you know, Roy Keane, you didn't mess with him. You were scared just coming up against him if you were a player against him, I would imagine. And then you had absolute superstar, worldly players as well. Anybody who did well in the World Cup, etc. I mean, at one point Zidane was rumoured to be, you know, on the verge of joining Man United. But, you know, other than having to pay quite high wages now to get good players, a couple of reasons. One, there is not like those wealth of stars out there who are able, you'll be able to go and get. And yeah, it's a different world now, isn't it, really? And the squads are much better, but there's no superstars who make a massive difference.
There's no youth system either, though. I think Fergie probably looked at it and went, who have I got coming through there that I could class in a similar boat of 92 crew? And he probably looked at it and went, nah, this is going to take me quite some years and quite a few different teams to get this right. And he probably, at that point, because he probably wasn't old to retire, he could have gone on for another couple of years, but he probably looked at it and thought, I'm out of this, I think. So,
final, forgive me. I think we were lucky in 2013 to get that final Premiership. And you're right. You just timed it absolutely right. And I think the other thing is when you look at the transfers that we acquired towards the end of last season, they're not the finest signings, are they? You would expect some big names to come in. And that's no disrespect to the guy we took off Palace, but yeah, you would just expect bigger names to be coming in.
Well, they should be getting Isaac,
aren't they?
Declan Rice. You know, all these players who are good, really good players, but they're not in that world anymore.
Champions League football, and I think Steve alluded to it, they're probably the furthest away they've been to that for quite a long while, aren't they? So it's hard to get that. Steve, who would you fear Palace going to this season? If you had to pick one team going away, who would you fear?
One team? It would be Liverpool, as much as we do all right at Liverpool, to be fair. City, depends which City you play. But again, we've had some sneaky wins there as well. So, yeah, probably Liverpool, if I had to. I just always remember 1989 and 9-0 in September and having to go to school as an 11-year-old boy the following day. That was the worst. I was the only Palace fan, I think, in the whole of... Where was I living then? Dorset. No, I was in Dorset then. I was living in Bournemouth. And I was the only Palace fan. Yeah, and then we did them 4-3 in the semi-final in the FA Cup 6 months later. So, yeah, Liverpool were the ones that could potentially smash us, but I don't think Palace are that club anymore. If you'd asked me 5 years ago, or even when we went up to the Premier League in 2013, yeah, every team I probably feared we were going to get done and hammered. But now I don't feel like that. I don't think Palace are there, which is great.
No, I think for Spurs, I think going away is probably, Liverpool and Newcastle for some reason. Newcastle, we seem to capitulate. It's always one where we're like, oh yeah, we might do all right, and then we lose 5-1. It seems to fall apart. I think it's just possibly something to do with the atmosphere. You know, the crowd are really vociferous, aren't they? And I wanted to use that word, that's why I put it in there.
Another word for you.
No idea what it means. What it means
or spells.
Another
word for you, Chris. It's called Spursy.
Go on then. Yeah. It was a bit Spursy.
Like
Hey, yeah, exactly. Well, let's speak about the fixtures then last weekend. So we had obviously Merseyside Derby. It was close, wasn't it, really? I mean, they were looking at the score of 2-1. Am I right in saying that they came back into it a little bit, Everton?
It gave them too much respect. And that's sort of what you say to your 14-year-old kids that I train at football. But we just stood off them in the first half and let them do what they wanted to. And we got in the moment. And I think Moisey probably battened down at half time and we changed the system slightly. And it was so obvious to me watching it that we were passing round us in midfield and big gaps were created between the defence and playing between the lines, between the defence and the midfield. And they were moving left back and right back into that position. And but at half time, we certainly regrouped and we had them on the ropes. And I'm not one to complain, you got to do enough in the game, but that injury time thing, he was knocking on the door to try and get it, and they've got the opposite of Fergie time there, so they've got what they need. But yeah, one thing, it's easy to moan about extra time, is you got to do enough in the game, and we probably had enough chances to get something out of it in the second half, but we didn't. You've got to move forward from that, and hopefully it's our first loss since the opening day of the season, so hopefully we can regroup and go against the next couple of games.
And Steve, you're obviously onto Crystal Palace. The win streak continues.
Yeah, it was a boring game. It was a shocking game, to be honest. Yes, we got who scored? Mateta, didn't he? Yeah, he scored the first one.
Yeah, he got the goal. I said first goal scored Mateta.
Yeah, which is good. So he's got back on the score sheet and a penalty as well from open play, which is good. West Ham just didn't have anything. Like, you can see that there's a lot of individual players there and they're not playing as a team. And the West Ham fans will say probably they're not playing the West Ham way, if they can still clutch that. I don't know if that's still a thing or not. But yeah, Palace just went about their business, I think, if I watched it again. It was just quite a dull game to watch. Took the lead, they got back into it. Unfortunately, a minute after we'd hit the bar to go 2-0 up, they went down the other end and scored a goal, which was sloppy on Palace's part. But then Tyrick Mitchell, with his wrong foot, scores, I think, a volley, was it? Yeah, it was a volley. It wasn't even a half volley. I think it was a volley to win it. So, yeah, I would 100% take it. I'm surprised Potter's still in the job. I thought he'd be out by now.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. And then we had quite a few draws, as we thought there would be. I've got no idea what we predicted.
I was thinking about this at the weekend. What did we predict?
But I think it was a lot of draws involved. And that came true, to be honest. Burnley, Nottingham Forest, 1-1. Well, that's predictable in a way, because transition Forest, they actually look in parts, they look a better attacking threat, I thought, under Ange, but that's Ange for you. Obviously, for Burnley to score, you're leaving holes there as well, but I actually think Forest, although I did say I worried about Ange and Forest, I think they might be okay as long as they buy into it. Just, they're not going to pull up loads of trees, I don't think, but they have got
some. I didn't realise Chris Wood was the all-time top Premier League goal scorer for both them teams, to be fair, Burnley and Forest. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, and then we had Wolverhampton versus Leeds, so Leeds continue away from home, 3-1. Wolves are in big trouble.
Yeah, and he signed a new contract.
Considering he's just signed a contract beforehand.
What's that? He's just lost his first, four games? He signs a new 3-year contract. He loses another game. He's played 5, lost 5.
I think he's got it coming, to be fair, from what he's got that Strand Larsen back in, hasn't he? And he's changing things around a bit. So, interesting.
Peter, what do you think, Peter, being from down that way?
Strangely, for a United fan, I've always been a Leeds fan. I like their attitude. Oof. I didn't see the match. And I didn't see the United match at the weekend because I'm a big Formula One fan. So that kind of pretty much consumed my weekend. But for research, I met a chap who went to the match last night. But yeah, I always keep an eye on how Wolves do. And I think they're destined to go back down to the Championship, I'm afraid.
I think so, especially when you get rid of Cunha and stuff like that.
Big
it's
loss.
Difficult to replace with their
you
budget.
You can't not sell them, but you've got to replace them, and you've got to be, like we spoke about last week, a Bournemouth, a Palace, where you're going to go, Brighton's going to go and get another player for 2.3 million that turns out to be a £75 million player. Tars, Cunha was obviously their main thing, and then obviously now all of a sudden he's gone and who do you replace him with?
I think you're right. And then we had Fulham beating Brentford 3-1, which I think, again, predicted for a boring draw. But Fulham...
You talk about Spurs?
Which is good. And Brentford... I'll talk about it in a minute, mate, if you want to. Let's talk about Fulham a bit more. No. Let's move on then from Fulham-Brentford. I mean, that was a good result for Fulham, to be fair. Brentford, he's having an indifferent start to his
Brentford manager of a career.
There's always going to be the way.
Hard act to follow, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. 100%. Talk about hard acts to follow. Brighton against Spurs. Obviously, I watched it. Not at the stadium. But to be honest, we were pretty much all over them in certain periods of the match. We should have controlled it a little bit better. And yeah, 2-0 at half time was shocking. Changed around a few little things. Made some changes when he needed to change. Shouldn't have probably started with Odubert, maybe. I don't know. It's a difficult one. Simmons came on.
What do you think of him?
As a central attacking midfielder. I like him as an attacking midfielder. I think he's not strong enough on the wing. Doesn't create enough. But as attacking midfielder, he started fed us some passes together. Had a few shots. And I think that's his position he needs to be playing. And I think that's what he's been brought for as well. But I know we've got some players injured, like Kulusevski and Maddison. Kudos is such a great player on the right, but we just haven't got that on the left currently. And if we did, then we'd be, you know, a much better team. And of course, we haven't got a striker. As we said, Richarlison, great. But he's for all his effort. I know he's your boy. I know. I don't want to offend you too much, but he's not that top quality striker, is he? And arguably, Solanke, obviously, he's had his issues with injuries as well, and he's not that either. So it's two things we need to purchase as a quality striker, a left winger perhaps, although it's going to be difficult trying to fit in Maddison.
Chris, you need to take them blinkers off, mate. He ain't coming back as a player now. Second injury, same knee. Yeah.
Maddison?
Not coming back from that.
Yeah, he's all right. Well,
what's happened to Brennan Johnson as well?
Well,
obviously, I've seen him play and he seems fairly decent, but now he's not getting in the side.
Kudos.
Really?
That's what's happened to him. He was playing on the right. He wasn't really playing. Yeah, no. He was playing Johnson on the right, though. He liked that. And obviously, Johnson can play on the left as well, but he's just not giving him the time, I don't think.
They're saying that Wilson's a better player than Brennan Johnson? Because I'm just looking at the team lineup here. Odubert, whatever his name, yeah. Is he better than Johnson?
He can probably take a man on better, to be honest. I think it's the end ball, though, I think, for all those players, to be honest. And Johnson's the same. Johnson is a great tapping merchant. And it saves his match. But if you look back on it, Spurs fans will be frustrated in the fact that he doesn't take his man on enough. And he gets a little bit lazy tracking back. So dependent on how the formation they're playing, it puts a lot of stress under your wing backs, etc. You know, especially when we want to push up with Spence and Porro. Yeah, it's a difficult one. But to be honest, show character coming back as well. He made the changes in midfield and put an extra attacking midfielder on with Simons up there with Bergvall. And Bergvall, he makes some mistakes, which are really due to his age. A few times he lost the ball, but he makes so many good, positive runs and he really drives the team forward, and that's what he needs.
Did you see...
All good teams are...
Did you see Bergvall do what he did when he ran behind the goal? So there's a corner.
Yeah.
He was like, there's a corner to stop them. And he went, I'm going to go find another position, but I'm going to run around the back of the goal to get ahead of the defender. And he got pulled up for it.
I liked
it. Have a chuckle.
And then obviously we had Man United versus Chelsea, 2-1. Shh.
Oh, what's
quiet,
that?
Everybody. It started. The revolution.
I think we were very lucky. We were very lucky indeed.
Did you watch it?
So losing the keeper in, I think, was it the fifth or eighth minute, something like that?
Fifth, yeah. I'm just looking at it now. Fifth minute.
Yeah. And then it got evened up.
That was the change.
What's think, yeah, Casemiro was a silly second yellow. Didn't need to do that either. Puts more pressure on him, and then gets him banned.
Yeah, and he's been getting
well.
Kind of quite a lot of playing time recently as well. So I think that's a big shame for us. I've always liked him.
Yeah, he's just a little bit slow. That's all. He's just lost that. He hasn't got that pace to.
I'd imagine though, he's the one that Bruno likes playing with, because that he sits so Bruno can go play. I imagine that's what he likes to play with. Looking at that,
yeah, I don't know whether it kind of came across on the TV. But my chum was saying that the pitch was absolutely waterlogged. He said you could see the footprints and the ball was just stopping at times. So it must have been a very, very difficult pitch to play on.
You know where the water's coming from, though? If you look at the roofs, they just go down and the water drains onto
them. I think that...
Silly. A nice bit of guttering.
Yeah, that's why we're having the tent-looking new stadium. I think that's the plan.
Yeah, the big tent. Yeah, I saw that. Sunday then we had Bournemouth against Newcastle. Prize in 0-0. I thought there would be more goals than that, to be honest.
Absolute bore fest, that was.
Oh, shocking.
Yeah. It just cancelled each other out.
Awful game. So boring. I was flicking between Bournemouth and the Sunderland game, and they were both dire.
Yeah, Sunderland 1-1 with Villa. Good to see Villa's got, you know, a point in there, I suppose. But and then Arsenal Man City, which looked a much better game. I would never watch it, obviously, for obvious reasons. I did watch some of the highlights, to be fair. And if Man City had gone on to win, I would have, you know, probably watched a bit more of it back.
Hell of a finish by Arsenal. I know you want to hear it, but for a lad that they've tried to replace, he's been quite crucial with the goals he scored, but it's a hell of a finish by Martinelli.
Who set it up as well?
Yeah.
Who set up that goal? Eze.
Yeah, it was a great ball. And that's the difference when he plays in the centre. The same as Xavi Simons as well, Spurs. You put them centrally, they can create something. Without that, they've got to beat a man, which...
I think he came on at half time.
He started Trossard, didn't he? Which is not a great.
They came on at half time.
Yeah.
For Madueke and Marino. Yeah, Marino.
Okay, that's enough football. Let's move on to our main event. Portals. So obviously Peter's here. I'm going to put questions to you guys about portals, etc. as well. But I mean, Peter, you're obviously involved in the world of portals now, anyway. You can just give us a brief overview of what your sort of involvement with it is, and then we can sort of discuss a few questions. This question's being, are property portals at risk from AI, or is it a benefit, which you've probably got a lot of experience on that? Are we going to start seeing a landscape of portals, with properties' reliance on Rightmove and Zoopla and all these other portals change? It'd be interesting to get your sort of view on it, really. And then Steve and Jamie, as you know, estate agents currently, it would be quite good feedback to see, you know, what you guys get from it, how it's changed over the period of time since you started, other than possibly getting more expensive. And it'd be quite interesting to see what your thoughts are on it, really. But first off, Peter, so just explain what you're doing with property and a very brief property background as well.
Well, first of all, I came back into agency in 2017. Until 18 months ago, I was running 7 branches of a very traditional mid-range firm across Cheshire. The concept of Rightmove came about just as we came out of lockdown in 2020. And it was born out of frustration with the charging structures and rigidity of the other portals that are supplying the industry. And we wanted to create something that was more supported from within the industry. Are portals at risk because of AI? No, I don't think so at all. I think everybody seems to be embracing it. And I think AI tech is something that is going to bring some amazing tools to the industry, some of which I'll tell you about with Rightmove in a bit. But no, I don't think there's any risk there whatsoever.
Okay, no worries. So Steve and Jamie, you've used portals for quite a bit of time. Obviously, it's changed over time as well, and the world of estate agency has changed in particular. Or on the auction side as well, I'll just quickly say about portals, we do obviously go on to all the major. They're a good leader, but I would say for auctions, we probably get more people who would contact us direct from on the main list and having sort of links to websites such as ERG, which is the auctioneer's website there as well. So although we do get sort of viewing requests, that kind of thing, we end up putting them back to our website anyway, so they can download the legal pack free of charge. So it's sort of slightly different than getting something indirect. And we don't have anything come straight into our software either. We're a little bit antiquated in that sense, I would say. So we're not as slick as estate agency is. But Jamie, you obviously had been involved with portals for a long time. What's your take on where they stand in relevance to estate agency currently? Do you see they're being less reliant and it's going into more of a personal brand, or is it still a good leader and that sort of?
Obviously for Peter as well, I think estate agents can't be without portals. However you use them, some people use them more, some people use them less. But I remember going back 21 years when I first started, the paper in the town where I lived came out on a Friday, and you'd never have a Friday off work because Friday's a day where people used to ring because they'd have the paper and they'd be ringing from that. Then we quickly worked out that you put it to press on Monday, by Friday that the ones are in there may be sold. Internet became 24/7. But I think without what anyone's there, you'd be a very brave person starting a stay and see and not go on a portal. I think a portal nurtures somebody's journey from the beginning. And there's people that probably me, Steve, don't want to engage with us straight away. They might be thinking of moving in a year's time, 2 years' time, and they don't want to be on a proactive mailing list where they're getting a phone call every week saying, are you ready to view? What are you doing? What are you doing this? But I think that I would say a portal is a data catch-in and it starts somebody's journey and their journey. They may be looking on that for a year, 2 years before they actually are ready to engage with the agent that they need to speak to. So I think a portal, you'd be very brave not to have them. And they are the nurturing of somebody's property journey is probably what I'd describe it.
What about you, Steve?
Rightmove were the first, weren't they? You know, I think, 2004, 2005? So they've got the monopoly and they've always had the monopoly. Until you change the consumer's mindset of where to look, Rightmove is always going to be the go-to place. And agents will, you know, always be on there. I know there's the Say No to Rightmove, and I applaud those agents in that town that have been ballsy enough to leave Rightmove. But I think we'd all probably agree that if we left Rightmove in our own towns, then we would lose listings. And I'm not willing to do that. Yes, it costs £30,000 a year. But what is that? 10 sales on average or 10 completions? You know, I use Rightmove every day. I've said this before. The first thing I do is wake up in the morning and look at the sort of the back end stats. And I love that side of it. What I don't like about it is that it, I love a stat. Yeah. What I don't like about it is that essentially it's us loading our properties to that portal that has, in my eyes, never evolved from where it was 20 odd years ago. It's still essentially, yeah. And I see the emails that come in and look at their profit margins. And I've been to seminars where they spoke about their profit margins, which are astronomical, an 18% increase or 15% increase every single August. Like, we can't increase our fees by 18%. So where does it stop? Where does it stop? That's the argument. And I think whoever comes along and challenges them, whether it was booming or all the rest of it, or on the market with their co-star investment, ultimately, if they're going to become number one, then they're going to charge the same as what Rightmove do on a monthly basis, because they're going to go, well, we're the big boys now. So you've got to change the consumer's mindset.
I guess you can't, you know, end of the day, it's a business, you know, successful business. I guess they've profited from their own success, and you can't knock them for that, I guess, really, in the sense of things. But I totally get the feedback regards to, well, so it's kind of they're benefiting from the work we do, and we're still paying them to do that as well, I guess. Peter, you're involved in a new sort of portal set up there as well. How do you guys see, obviously, you've got good investment, great plans there as well. Can you just give us a quick overview of what you guys are doing slightly differently in regards to...
Yeah.
Portal and how you see you fit in against the other major players in there as well?
One thing that I would say is, as we've moved through the times, we've always used different advertising mediums. So pre-Rightmove in the early 2000s and late, an average estate agency will have been spending the equivalent on Rightmove that they would have done on advertising in the local newspaper. And in some ways, that can be cheaper nowadays. I know that sounds crazy. I'm not defending them. But I think, answer your question, I think the big difference about Rightmove is that, yes, we're a new portal, we're a new challenger, but we will always be completely free of charge for estate agents to use. Rightmove will never cost an estate agency a penny in perpetuity. We commercialise Rightmove by what we call intuitive rather than intrusive advertising. And it's all to do with the carousel of images. So let's say you've got a property that needs renovation. When a viewer's looking at that property on Rightmove and they get to, let's say, the image of the kitchen, Rightmove uses AI tech to interact with the viewer and basically says, hey, this kitchen needs a refurb, tell me how you'd redesign it. But basically, as you're talking to whatever device you're on, the image is changing based on exactly what you're saying in real time. And at the end of that journey, basically, there is Rightmove will say, it'd be handy for you to know how much this kitchen's going to cost. We'll send this information to our kitchen partner. So when you go and view the house, you know the kitchen's going to cost you 20 grand, bathroom 10, and so on and so forth. So that's how we stand out. And as you say, we're exceptionally well-funded.
Interesting. Where do you sit on the side of, I guess, AI in general? I mean, it has to be accurate for a start. So I guess that with... As with anything, it's a ballpark figure, isn't it, I guess, when you've got AI giving you a figure regards to kitchens and it's based on room sizes and accuracy of the original estate agent as well, I guess. But how do you see AI being used? I mean, obviously quite key to your product, but AI is something which is also a threat, isn't it, for a status, I guess, really. Realistically, somebody could just list them themselves, and AI does a better job than some estate agents as well. So it's an interesting time we've got there as well.
I agree to a certain extent, but I think estate agency is still a people business. And when you're going out to evaluation, you've got to basically give confidence to that vendor to hand over the keys. And I think it's just a case of agents embracing technology and using those tools to not necessarily make them stand out, but do a better job.
People buy people. Doesn't matter what anyone says, people still buy people.
Yeah.
And I agree with what Peter said there. People on evaluation buy people. AI might help me, but technology, especially in my lifetime, will never replace me. It may help me, but will never replace me.
Yeah, it'll support you.
Totally agree.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. So it's an interesting one with regards to pricing in particular. Remove being free for estate agents there, and obviously major portals charging X amount for per month per branch or whatever they do for the discounts and things like that. And it was always quite an interesting time finding out that you'd actually pay more, but you get more back, and in that balance. But if I remember back to press advertising, you know, you're looking at £2,500 per page sometimes. So in relative terms, those costs went up because of ink prices and paper prices, which eventually led to the death of press on that side of it. Although some people still embrace press because there's a little local magazine, but it's nowhere near to it's just brand awareness rather than selling property. So that's totally changed in relation to portals, I guess, that although there are costs going up, and you know, you could argue you can factor into electric costs for holding data in various places as well, and obviously staff costs does go up as well. But in relation to jumping 18% or whatever it is, then it's hard to sort of justify that side of it as well. And it's unsustainable for businesses as well, because ultimately 10 years ago, 2%, 1.5%, now you're definitely down to 1% if you're lucky in certain areas. That can only go one way, because until people see the value in an estate agency, and that comes with giving them a voice and giving a value to an estate agency, which we've always bang on about in particular. So it's quite an interesting time in regards to pressures for charging portals in particular. I don't know what the answer is, because ultimately you've still got to be on it.
Yeah.
Peter, on that point there you mentioned earlier, obviously we have millions of listeners. Millions of listeners.
I said this.
Obviously, explain if you don't mind. I know we had a quick chat off air, but as an estate agent, you always think if it sounds too good to be true, it might not be. But do you mind just going a little bit further, explaining about why it doesn't cost estate agents if you feel okay about it?
Yeah, of course. I think one of the biggest hurdles I get is because there have been previous challenges to the current portals. And I would say 99% of people that I get the opportunity to speak to at the right level, they come on board, because once they understand how we've structured RealMove and how it works, it's just so easy to come on board. It's absolutely zero risk. The one thing that I didn't mention before, because I didn't want to prattle on too much about RealMove, was we actually share our income with the estate agents who subscribe. So, for example, the first 2,000 branches that subscribe will actually get 50% of the revenue we generate from your pages. The next 2,000, it drops down to 40%, and that kind of structure goes down to 20%. So once we've got a reasonable amount of market share, we will have the properties to attract the viewers to give us credibility. But for the short term, we're not marketing ourselves to the consumers at the moment, because we are just building stock.
I think the only thing which came across when Steve was talking about is the public perception. Until that's changed, not many things change, but I guess you've got a plan there for yourself to go and sponsor and do all these other things and spend quite a bit of money, because ultimately the back end and getting majors on board, especially when it's free, should be an easy sell, I guess, realistically. It's just really changing that perception.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's one of those whereby you will have estate agents who, I know everybody wants to drive traffic to their own website, but I think give it 2 years, you will have an estate agent who's on the phone to somebody saying, yeah, the property is on all the other portals, but if I were you, I'd have a look on RealMove, because it's got some really clever tech gadgets that will help you visualize what a property could look like. So the one thing, that level of technology I mentioned before, by the way, that goes live in January. In February, March, we've got a second layer of tech whereby you as an estate agent, you'll be able to go into the back end of Real Move and ask it to create a second carousel of images. So that will allow you to artificially dress a house or artificially renovate it, if that makes sense, so someone can see before and after images. So it's features like that that I think are going to help the industry, but will also help grow Real Move as well.
Do you think it'll ever get to the point where people will start using ChatGPT, like show me every three-bed detached house in Newton Abbot, Devon, and then it's all in one place, they've got all the websites of all the independents and corporate estate agents that the consumer then does use our website rather than going on Rightmove?
That's a possibility, but there's going to be a hell of a lot of different... Yeah, there's going to be a lot of content there, isn't there? A massive amount of content to scroll through.
Yeah.
I think it comes down to specifics, doesn't it, with especially with any AI. If I was to put in, please show me a property in X street in X town between these values, then it'll be able to pull something really quickly. But if you're less generic, then it's not going to be able to. So it'd be quite interesting.
We use Rightmove because what will AI, how will it grid it? How will it show you that? And the functionality of a user is you click Rightmove, Sleaford plus 10 miles, and basically it lists them all in the same format, exactly the same. So if you ask AI, it'll be interesting how it, if it would ever collate it to like a Rightmove search, if that makes sense.
I think it would do, wouldn't it? Yeah, you can design anything on ChatGPT.
It's just being specific. Yeah, and there's other AI providers as well, which are even better. And, you know, the things now you can do is to create the images, videos, anything like that. And it comes a little bit scary on that side of it. But I mean, realistically, the AI section, it can just do exactly what you want it to do. Is you just got to be specific, I think. And maybe it's something where we could have an AI expert on, if anybody's out there at some point, to talk about a little bit more. What are the possibilities of it? Of course, it'll say endless. It just needs technology to get to that point, I guess. But it'd be interesting to see how portals, including yours, Peter, as well, embrace that technology and not let it take over totally, because it can be too tech. It can alienate people as well. And there's lots of people out there who are fine with looking at things on apps, etc., and portals, because it's already been set up by their kids sometimes as well. I know that we're coming to a world now where we are the dinosaurs in this small room here. We are the dinosaurs of tech, because your kids will be, you know, it's all built into glasses, you know, nowadays, and that is technology we've got already. So it'd be interesting to see how
they're
it goes.
Amazing. Have you seen those? The Ray-Ban Meta.
Yeah, I really want to buy
them. And I want to buy the Oakley Vanguard one for my cycling. It's like, please tell me what time the sunset's going to be. I'm 59. How many miles am I from home? 4.
You just want a friend where you cycle on your own. That's all you want.
Brilliant.
One of the dads
in
my football team managed to record a free kick with his glasses. I was flabbergasted by it, to be perfectly honest. I was the manager and he recorded a free kick on his whatever they were, some of the glasses, to be fair. I was impressed.
It's bonkers.
Yeah. How many times have you tried to record a bit of sport with your son or daughter in, and you're filming it, and then you get carried away with it? You look back at it and it's basically of the grass and the last bit and the important bit when they're scoring a goal, because you're too infused and looking at it. It's quite an interesting time, isn't it? But if you're walking past you know, it's already there with technology anyway, with QR codes and stuff like that. But if you're walking past and looking at something and you know, with glasses, which have got built in the AI technology, send me the details of this property, etc., or whatever it's going to be, contact the agent. It's so endless what we can do, isn't it? It's just getting yourself into that situation where you can actually move it forward.
I don't think my face up, Steve, really, when you're bike riding and then you crash. That's what you don't want, to be fair.
Yeah, like you can say, like, show me the map and it'll have that peripheral view.
Find the nearest hospital.
Yeah. Yeah. Look about it though. If you're in central London and you look at a building, you don't know what it is, you go, hey Meta, tell me what that building is. It'll tell you all the history of that.
Hey Meta, tell me if my wrist is broken.
Ring the wife to say I'm going to be late.
Hey Meta, how much blood is allowed to be lost? Anyway, we're digressing. Peter, where do you see the future of portals then in that sense? Obviously, you're doing something which has got the AR tech in there as well. You see endless growth here as well, I guess, really. And it's just how it's embraced and how you move forward and what technology is evolved and is able to be had by the public, I guess, will influence your decision on your own portal as well, won't it?
I believe that the number of portals is going to reduce. I think they are going to potentially merge. Sounds like one of them could be up for sale shortly. And you wonder if Murdoch's going to make a bid for that rather than him trying to acquire Rightmove. Was that last year? I think portals are always going to be important to the market, but I think the number of Portal will reduce over the next 5 years.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. It really is. But I mean, what I always say is, I guess it's that journey which Jamie was saying. It's you start on a journey where you start looking, and it's like, I wonder how much my house is worth. And you know, it's that journey about, you're not ready yet, but at some point you will be. And it's how you best make use of that technology and get in early in regards to things. And obviously there are systems out there where you can automate your back end to create that journey and put them on a journey for yourself. Valuation is often the first point, but it may be actually they just sign up for a newsletter, and then you get targeted newsletters, et cetera, for that particular person, what they're looking at, what area they're in, what's their hobbies, et cetera. It takes a lot of back end information to be put in there, but that technology is already there. So it'd be interesting to see if portals go a bit further down that route. I mean, am I right in saying, Peter, that yours is just purely a source to put the information back to the agent direct, and it's not going to be something where you have to log in, and as an estate agent where you have to log in and put the information in? And
absolutely, and yeah, that's correct. So basically we will feed all of that information, be it like sort of property viewing inquiries, valuation requests. It will automatically go through the agent CRM, or it can go directly to the agent. The agent chooses on how they get that information delivered.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the reasons why I think a few things have failed, is that it's been a bit clunky, to using one of Jamie's analogy, clunky to sort of log in, and you have to log into a different database, etc. And estate agents, they have so many things they have to log into, and you want one just ease of use. I mean, you've got your floor plans, Metrobit, or whatever you use. You've got all these different things, you've got to look, and all these different passwords, and it's just a pain in the backside, isn't it? If it's ease of use, that's so much better, isn't it, Jamie? That's a yes. He's nodding. Fine. Okay, so that's the chat. Anybody else want any sort of final words on?
I think, if you don't mind me saying, on the only thing I'd like to finally kind of mention is the fact that we don't tie agents into a long subscription model. So it's a 30-day notice period if they ever want to come off for whatever reason. And you know what? I was saying to an agent a couple of days ago, if for whatever reason you ever want to come off Real Move, just email me and I will take you off immediately. And we've done that because we want it to be super easy for agents to come on board, but it's equally got to be really easy for agents to leave if they ever want to. So yeah, the subscription process is super simple. All agents need to do is get in touch. And the website is up and running at the moment, so you can get an idea of look and feel, and you can inquire through that.
Does that sync with the CRMs as well, Peter? Have you spoken to sort of like the likes of Street Loop, Repit, etc.?
We work with everybody. There are some property software groups, like Alto Expert Agent Dupix, whereby they actually charge the estate agent for any more than 3 feeds. So we don't want any agent to ever incur any costs. So what we do is we actually then take a fee directly from the agent's website.
I got you.
Correct. So we don't actually need any permission, but we just ask for approval. And there are some other portals out there that just automatically scrape without permission. We don't want to be like that.
Good. Fantastic. Right. Okay. So let's, if anybody wants more information about Real Move, etc., then obviously contact one of us here or Peter direct. Good. Or is, what's the website again? Realmove.com? That's it. Simple as. Great. Right, football. Let's get back to football. So, got some really interesting matches this weekend coming up. I'm not going to talk about Carabao Cup this week because that's separate to what we do here at the Premier League and property. I'm going to kiss a death on the Saturday with Tottenham versus Wolverhampton Wanderers. Why did I say they're doomed? This has got a away win all over for Wolves. No, seriously though, I think we'll be all right. It's at 8 o'clock. We should be fine with that. I think Wolverhampton Wanderers are a little bit blunt in attack. I'd be surprised if we didn't get a result there. What do you guys think?
Yeah, 2-0 Spurs. I don't really care, to be fair, no.
Yeah, don't really care. I just care.
I would say...
too busy thinking about his glasses.
Draw.
Draw, mate. Scoring score, draw. Or ball draw. Score, draw.
2-0
Spurs. I'm going for a 3-1.
Good game.
It's at home. Yeah, should be good. Then we've got Forest versus Sunderland.
Score, draw.
Score, draw.
Yeah, Graham with Steve.
2-1?
1-1.
1-1. Ditto. Got to bet that now, Steve. We're both the same. But ditto. Yeah.
City versus Burnley.
4-0 City.
Yeah.
Peter's on. Well, Peter's a fan, Burnley, so I'm going to let Burnley score. So I'm going to say 2-1.
I think City will win by 2.
2-1 to City. Yeah. So 2-0 for you. Because can you see Well, I think they've got a goal conceded.
Carl Walker, right foot volley.
And then they're doing that the Mayor and run down the whole pitch.
On his knees, down there, in front of Pep, sliding down.
Just on City versus Burnley, where do you guys sit with, we haven't discussed this yet on this pod, with Trafford coming back, signing up, and then...
Donnarumma's probably the best goalkeeper in the world. He must have known that. He couldn't have, no way. I know he'd given number one shirt, but there's no way he went there and said he wouldn't have signed if he Yeah, there's no way he said to him, oh, you're going to be number one. And then a week, 2 weeks later, they got Donnarumma and he made a couple of mistakes as well, unfortunately. Yeah,
but it doesn't matter if you are made number one. If Donnarumma comes available, the best keeper in the world, then you have to go and get him.
I think it's strange on his part, unless he really thought Burnley were going to get battered every week, that he wouldn't have done another season being a number one somewhere. But I suppose if Man City come calling at 40 million in your wages, you probably think, I'll take the odd cup game here and there and see what I can do.
For me, he was at City, wasn't he? He was at City to leave to go to Burnley.
Yeah.
You got to have some...
Yeah, that's why I got him back.
You got to have some self-confidence, self-belief in yourself to think, I'm going back to City to be number one. I don't see him as a City number one. I think he's a good keeper. He could be a Newcastle number one. He could be Brentford, you know, Forest, Palace, Spurs. You know, I could see him... But I don't, I'm sorry, I don't see Good. Him as a Man City number one. So,
but I think they're quite happy with Dubrovnik. Is it Dubravka that have signed? I think they're quite happy about him, aren't they, at Burnley? I think they've done good business.
Yeah. I mean, the plan was he was going to go to Newcastle, wasn't he? But then City had the ability to buy back and overruled it. I think he'd have been better off going to Newcastle myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with that is I don't think you're going to be England's number one. I don't know if people's aspirations are these days to play for England, but you don't become England's number one by not playing games. And that's the issue you've got. So if you want any goalkeeper, whatever nation you are, I think you've got to be playing games. It's not, I think it's hard to be a number one without that.
Well, it's like Ramsdale, isn't it? Why would he go back? You're not playing. He's never going to get an England team. He was third choice. Pope, arguably, is second choice. Pickford is still number one.
Henderson? Have we forgot about Dean Henderson?
Sorry, Jamie. I'm not. Well, Dean Henderson.
He's got more of a chance now. True. He's playing regular games, Steve. I think.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be in the spotlight if he wasn't playing for Palace every week. He'd put it that way.
No. And United must be kicking themselves, releasing him and letting him go. You know, with what they've been through with keepers.
Let's be honest, at Everton, Pickford, you're not sort of shots to save what the seasons we've had. You sort of, he's been busy.
Yeah.
So Leeds, Bournemouth. So Leeds at home, Bournemouth Good away. Draw. I think Bournemouth might get that. I think it'll be close. Leeds have been playing really well and they're stronger home, aren't they? But I think it could be a 2-1 to Bournemouth. I just feel Bournemouth have got
I think Leeds are going to pick points up at home. I know we said about the other, but I think if Leeds are going to get points, they will get points at home. So I'm going for score draw.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
1-0 Cherries, 1-0 Bournemouth. I think they'll nick it.
Yeah, I think it's... And then we've got... apparently Mark Gay is up and it's Palace versus Liverpool. I was going to do a Mark Gay joke then, but I couldn't really think of anything off the top of my head, so sorry about that. So Crystal Palace against Liverpool, Palace at home. Might be tighter than you think it is. I don't think Liverpool have been firing.
All day long, come on.
I think it could be a win.
Yeah,
Palace Steve?
Win.
Yeah.
That,
put him on the spot here.
You know what this is though, don't you? This is the battle of the two unbeaten sides. They're the only two sides unbeaten in the whole of the league so far this season.
You could still be unbeaten.
I always hate playing Liverpool. I'll take a draw. At least I can't
Eagles.
Do Palace.
I'm going Score draw. Full on Eagles. Palace win.
No, I think a draw. I think 1-1. I'm going draw. Head over heart.
I'm going for a 2-1 Palace win.
I'm going
the other way.
We're the first team to beat them.
You're going the other way. 2-1 Liverpool win. I can't see Liverpool losing the league, by the way. I still think...
I want it to be a Palace winner
Chelsea,
in the 90s.
Yeah.
Marcus Gaye overhead kick from a corner.
Do you know, it's kind of written there, isn't it? That if not having the transfer, popping up in the 89th,
header,
90th minute,
corner.
Bullet header, and then let's see if he celebrates. Will he celebrate?
Yes. See you in a couple of months.
He will celebrate. He's a good lad.
Just going back to that, they've got to sell him in the transfer window after Christmas.
To get probably 10, 15 million, they'll have to.
He hasn't signed any contract.
He'll be going for free. Yeah, 10, 15 million in January or let him go for free in the summer. That's their only decisions, really.
Interesting. Chelsea versus Brighton. So Chelsea at home, tough one to call. Chelsea are a bit erratic.
Fighting. I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think that could be a 2-0 or 2-1.
Especially them being at home.
I can't see. Yeah.
3-0 Chelsea. I hope it's 3-0 Chelsea. Can't stand Brighton.
And then the match of the Saturday. Brentford at home against the mighty Manchester United. And by the way, sorry for Man United fans who are listening to this. This is not a character assassination on any Man United fans.
What we're going for, Peter, on that game, we'll let you say that one. What we're going for.
Yeah, what's it? All the pressure's on you.
I think United will win by one goal.
1-0.
Well, no. They'll win by one goal. So I think it'll only be one in it.
5-4.
I think there'll be a few. I think there will be a few.
Yeah, I think both teams have got goals to concede again in them. So I think it's going to be 2-1 to United.
2-1 Brentford.
Nice.
That's all I'll go for.
Jamie, biggest decision you have to make this week?
2-2.
I'm loving the draw this week, aren't you?
That's one 2-2.
I'm going to go to the bookies with all these, Steve. We get some good odds on some A draws.
You're on the old accumulator.
Sunday we've got two matches. Villa versus Fulham.
Score draw.
And Newcastle versus Arsenal.
Yes, I was going to say that as well, yeah.
Villa Fulham.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think it'll be 1-1.
I think it'll be a draw. Score draw.
1-0. Yeah, I think so as well. And then we've got Newcastle versus Arsenal. Newcastle at home. That's a tough match. And Arsenal, they've been resilient, to be fair. Coming through a few...
I'm going to shot you here, Steve. I'm going to go for an Arsenal win.
Yeah, and I'm going to say I think the biggest team in North London are going to win that 2-0 as well.
Fighter.
Well, mate, we're not playing that in that match. So it's actually Arsenal. But thanks for that. I know your mates are. I think that Newcastle are going to win.
Wow.
And I always say this when they're playing. Yeah, I know it's a big shout. I'm going to say it's going to be a 2-1 win to Newcastle.
Are you doing this honestly, or are you doing this for your hatred of Arsenal Football Club?
No comment. Peter, any sort of...
I'm with Steve. Totally with Steve on that. Did you say 2-1, Steve, or 2-0?
2-0, I think. 2-0,
Arsenal. Yeah, We shall see. Okay. And that's it, isn't it? Crikey. Obviously, Carabao Cup this week as well, which is important for quite a few people. Oh, when's your match? Monday, is it?
On Monday night. We've got West Ham score draw.
Oh, yeah, Monday night. Sorry, mate. Sorry.
4-4.
Yeah, take that, yeah. 4-4, yeah. That's a draw written all over it. Monday night football.
West Ham, yeah. Everton at home, though.
Tricky, that one. It is tricky to call that.
That is tricky. Well, Everton, until last weekend, they were...
Everton are a better side than West Ham. So, by rights, they should win.
Yeah, they are a better side. West Ham are better away from home, aren't they?
They've got the pressures of their fans. They're
feeling the pressure.
Probably closer to the pitch away from home.
Yeah, but when they play at home, they've only got the pressure of their fans for about 55 minutes and then they all start leaving. So
we'll protest them. We'll find each other.
Jamie, what are you going for? A draw?
Or score draw, too.
I think you'll win that one, Jamie. I think you'll win it.
Yes, Peter, you can come every week. I like that.
Doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Big Jack Realist fan.
Steve, what do you say?
2-1 Everton. There you go.
I'm going for 1-0 Everton.
Cheers. Thanks for everyone's optimism. I like that.
On that, if you don't mind me asking, what do you think the chances of you keeping Grealish are?
If they pay $50 million, it's a done deal because they've got one of them clauses in where it's done. The only reason they can't sign him is if they get relegated. So if they get relegated, they can't sign $50 million. If they want to buy him without a renegotiation, they'll have to pay $50 million. But he's galvanised the team. And if he gets you up there, I think 93% of shirt sales, I was reading yesterday, have got Grealish on. So I think it's sort of a no-brainer, really. They need to keep him if they want that. Illiman and Jai and Grealish are the two which I would be looking to say. And then young Jarrod Brathwaite at the back to probably build a team around, to be fair. And obviously Pickers in goal.
I thought your comment on last week's cast was really good about don't fall in love with a lone player.
I can't say anymore. I'm having to try and cover my Jack Grealish tattoo at the moment from you all, to be fair. So I can't say I've not fallen in love with him. So yeah.
And they spelt it wrong.
Did you see his interview after the match at the weekend?
Yeah, he's going to get banned for that, I reckon, which is a bit of a shame, really. But he was just honest about what he thought. But, yeah.
Really good interview, I thought.
Yeah. I like Grealish. He's a good lad. He's a likeable football player.
Yeah.
That's the thing. He's likeable.
Yeah, he's relatable, isn't he?
Loves him and thinks he's so lovely and so great with kids and obviously with his family situation. Like, she's like, I love him. I wish he was at Palace. I was like, yeah, it's not happening.
To be honest, I've never had so many people ask me about my season tickets if they're available. So I'm guessing that's something to do with the amount of short socks that are worn in Everton's football team with Drewsbury Hall, Dibbling and Jack Grealish. I think there's plenty of calf on show there, to be fair.
not for boys.
Dear, oh dear. Right, guys, that's about, oh, we've gone well over, crikey. Well, that's sort of full time today's podcast. Is the writing on the wall for property portals? No. Is not something that will happen overnight anyway, but obviously we've heard from Peter today regards to the future, which sounds really exciting, and you know, best of luck with Peter. I'll be keeping an eye on it as well. So AI is going to be important. It's going to be important for estate agents. It's going to be important for portals as well, of course, as well. So it's a really interesting landscape moving forward, guys, isn't it, really? So thanks for listening, everybody, to the Property Premier League. I've been your host, Chris Mervin, ably assisted today by Jamie Aspland and Steve Green. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
And thank you to this week's guest, Peter Barnes.
Thank you, Peter. Thanks for having me.
No worries. We'll be back next week with more insights and debates from the world of property and the beautiful game. They think it's all over. Well, you guys know the rest.